Our next scripture passage, we're going to jump over to Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Amen. For the past several weeks here at Hope Community Church, we have been going through a message series that we've called Advent Conspiracy. And in this series, we're all being challenged and encouraged to think differently about Christmas. We want to make sure that we're actually celebrating the birth of Jesus. And for so many of us Christians, so many of us believers, we can get caught up in the shopping of the season and the stress of the season. And we can feel that pressure like we want to buy the perfect gift for the people in our lives because I love these people. I want them to know that I love them. And we want to do right by the people on our shopping list. We want to do right by all those people that we love. And so the idea behind Advent Conspiracy has been, well, let's take our focus off of those people and put our focus on to Jesus. Let's shop for Jesus this year. And so you have been encouraged. We've all been challenged to reallocate our funds in a direction that's going to do some good for people this year. And today, this morning, is a celebration of just that. You have accepted that challenge. You have been moved by the Holy Spirit. And so many of you have extended generosity during this season. Let me take a look around, friends. We're not a mega church. But we've done a lot together collectively. What none of us could do on our own, we have done collectively. And we took 45 tags we had in our little Christmas ministry. And we bought gift cards for people who are in need. And we bought clothing items for people who are in need. We are taking care of our neighbors. We've brought in donations for food donations to help feed people in our community. We are taking this seriously, giving Jesus the gifts that he wants. Friends, we've done it. We have done it. We're giving Jesus the gifts that he wants. How do you feel about that? Do you feel good? Do you feel encouraged? I hope you do, because I'll tell you, there's something that I struggle with this season as it relates to generosity and as it relates to charity. Sometimes, can I be honest with you, church? Can I share something? Sometimes I feel a little stretched thin during the holiday season, because I feel like there's a lot of charities and a lot of causes and a lot of people who are in need. And sometimes I feel like every time I turn around, oh, there's somebody else. There's another issue. There's another request. There's somebody else in need who's asking for something. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's some other kind of support. But sometimes I feel that way. Am I the only one who feels that way? Goodness gracious, every time I turn around, I feel like it never ends. Did you ever feel that way? Are we going to be honest with each other in church? Somebody's always asking me for something? Well, let me tell you, if you've ever felt that way, if you've ever said to yourself, oh, this feels like it never ends, I'm here to tell you that you are correct. It never ends. There will always be needs here. I mean, listen to what we're told. Paul tells us this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "Let us," speaking of Christians, "let us not become weary in doing good." Why does Paul have to write that to us? Because we can become weary in doing good if we're not careful. We have to remind ourselves that this is worth doing, right? And when we turn around and see a new opportunity to serve or a new opportunity to give or a new opportunity to extend charity, we have to realize that these expressions of charity, these acts of service are what life is all about. It's not a side quest. It's not a side thing that happens. It's something that truly matters in this life. Jesus promises his disciples, Matthew 26, 11, he says to them, "You will always have the poor with you." There will always be another opportunity. And we as a church, we accept this. And collectively, we take that next step forward in meeting somebody's need. And there's always the next step that we can take. There's always the next opportunity to give or to serve. And friends, you've probably discovered this by now. You don't have to look hard to find somebody to help. God puts these opportunities in the path in front of you, and it's our responsibility to say yes, because maybe you're the one that can help. That person who needs food, well, maybe you're in a position where you can provide that food. That person needs some encouragement, well, maybe you can bless that person with encouragement. That person needs an ally, a friend, well, maybe you can meet that need of being that ally, being that friend. When we look to Scripture, there's something we learn about Jesus that is so clear that among all the list of things that Jesus wants, because Jesus wants things from us, when you look at the list of things that Jesus wants, way up towards the top of that list is He wants us to take care of each other, to take care of the poor, to feed those who are hungry, to give water to those who are thirsty, to clothe those who are naked, to visit people in prison. He wants us to take care of the people He describes as the least of these, those struggling the most. That's so high up on the list of what Jesus wants in this world. But there is a greater desire that Jesus has. Do you realize that? Even greater than meeting someone's temporary needs. The greatest desire of Jesus Christ is to save us. His greatest desire is to see us, human beings, accept Him as our Savior so we can receive the forgiveness of sins and so that we can enter into heaven when we leave this earth. That is number one, the thing that Jesus wants the most. The name Jesus, that's the Greek name, the Hebrew name is Yeshua. That name has a meaning. All those Hebrew names have a meaning. And sometimes you'll see that little those little name cards that sometimes you can buy, like souvenir shops, to see what your name is and what your name means. You ever look at it? Did you ever look up the meaning of your name? Well, if you look up the meaning of the name Yeshua, the name Jesus, there is a clear definition there of what this name means and what this name is all about. And that name Yeshua, that name Jesus, it means the Lord is salvation. That's why the angel tells Joseph and Mary, you're going to give Him the name, the Lord is salvation, because that's who He is. He is the Lord that not only brings salvation, but that is salvation. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, entrance into heaven. It's not just a gift that Jesus gives. Salvation is who He is. When you look around at the community around us, the world around us, there are so many various needs that people have. One person needs food, somebody else needs clothing, somebody else needs encouragement, somebody else needs something else. All these different needs that different people have. But there is one need that we all share. We all need a Savior. You can buy food for the poor, you can buy clothes for those who are in need. But the thing that we all need is salvation in Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that you can give to somebody else this Christmas season is the gift of Jesus. To speak the words, to articulate the gospel, to articulate what Christ has done for us. And remember, friends, we are all in this together. We all share the common need for a Savior, and that need has been met in Jesus Christ. Amen.